Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So less than a year after the last rate hike, the MTA looks like it's going to raise its transit and toll fares yet again, if they're allowed. With a budget deficit of over $900 million, the Transit Authority is forced to accelerate its original plan to increase revenue, they say. This is the first time since the 80s that the MTA will seek to raise fares twice within 2 years. But even this measure, they say, won't close the gap. With fuel prices up and tax revenues down, the MTA is hoping the city and state can also give them a boost out of more tax revenues. Let's talk about these latest figures with Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, Westchester Democrat and chairman of the Assembly Committee on Corporations, Authorities, and Commissions, including the MTA. Assemblyman Brodsky, welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be back with you, Brian.
What are your reactions to these latest budget numbers?
This was inevitable because of decisions and policies of the last 15 years. It's a real warning about the future of the MTA. We could return to the bad old days of the 70s and 80s, and it was not inevitable. It's the result of a set of choices that we can reverse.
But things have been getting better since probably the early 1980s, right?
Yeah, that was because under the leadership of Dick Ravitch, there was, and Governor Carey and the legislature, and succeeding for a number of years thereafter in the political class, there was a broad, deep commitment to the MTA. That vanished 15 years ago when Governor Pataki took over. And the legislature, of which I was a member, and the governor, and the mayor, and the city council, adopted policies which said that the fundamental burden for the mass transit system should fall on those who use it, the people who take the trains and the buses. The people who benefit from it, the real estate industry, although they don't use it, they benefit from it. They were exempt from supporting it, and now we're heading towards a cliff.
So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. That sums it up, doesn't it?
Well,
there's answers here, and that is we have to provide more state and city money. The reason that it's worse than it looks is because the announcement yesterday was only about the operating budget, which there's a $600 to $700 million gap, which you probably can pitch together some stuff and get over. The much bigger problem is that the capital budget, the investment in trains and tunnels and tracks and stations, is $20 to $30 billion short.
You're really talking big picture here. So do you think if the press starts going on a Save the Fare campaign or debating this just in terms of should fares be raised 2 years in a row, do you think that would pretty much entirely miss the point?
Well, not entirely, but it would focus on what newspapers focus on, and that is the immediate impact on the people who buy the newspapers. There's nothing wrong with that. But the vision that it took to fix the problem that we inherited from the 60s, 70s is what we need to do now. This is not a particularly complicated problem. The Assembly, for example, which I'm a member of, actually voted to dedicate the revenues from a millionaire's tax to the MTA's capital budget needs. That at least is a position. I think it's a good position, but the governor and the mayor have opposed that. The Senate has opposed it, and yet nothing else is on the table. What I think your question really reaches to, Brian, is what's the interaction between public attitude, public outrage, public interest, and newspapers and decision makers? And when you come to public authorities, there's this bizarre remoteness. They're not really part of the government, yet they run our lives, yet no one really knows who's in charge. So in the end, I'm glad for the newspaper's focus on the fare because it'll attract enough attention maybe to get an actual debate going.
Well, it seemed that until this economic downturn, we were heading in more or less the right direction. Things were getting better in mass transit in general. And even with the cuts that you were certainly historically right to point out that Governor Pataki spearheaded withdrawing state money from the MTA and making it be more self-sufficient, even with that, there were big new plans. The Second Avenue subway was apparently finally going to go ahead. We have that rail link to JFK now. They're talking about Long Island Railroad to Grand Central. Elliot Sander, who's a transit advocate, was appointed to head the MTA. And just now, with the economic downturn and the downturn in the real estate transfer tax, which goes to the MTA and things like that, all of a sudden it's, oh, my God, we can't deal with these plans. Is that wrong?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sorry to say. And it's not totally wrong, because to the extent you identify it, you're right. But the really long-term problem was that in the early 90s, what happened was that we started borrowing money for a lot of the things that we now use, but we backed them with fare box revenues. So when I say that the real decisions that were made in 95 and 96 are the ones coming home to roost today, it's that we decided not to make the city and state a partner in paying off the long-term capital borrowing we were appropriately doing. The net result of that is those bonds are now really kicking in, and it's the debt service on those bonds that are, to a great extent, gobbling up the operating money. Is that too technically complicated, Brian?
No, I understand.
And so that if you really want to run the system, you had to make a commitment in 1995 to the kind of service you wanted in 2008. So that it is the economic downturn, as you pointed out, but perhaps more profoundly, it's the decision to exempt the beneficiaries of the system from contributing. Take the real estate industry. One of the reasons they've been able to charge these very high rents for their office buildings is that people can get to work relatively cheaply, and it's sort of taken for granted. They reap a benefit from a mass transit system that really moves people around. Yet, the burden for paying for that mass transit system was shifted over to the riders. And it's that sort of visionary social injustice, to coin an oxymoron, that really leads you to a problem where newspapers are writing headlines saying 8% fare increase 2 years in a row. That's the level of thinking we need. The good news is that Dick Ravitch is back heading a commission that Governor Patterson has appointed.
That's right, and they're supposed to report back in November on these long-term MTA questions. Anything that you particularly want to see them report back and recommend?
I would hope that we started with a philosophical understanding that we need a progressive tax that does not focus on just users and middle-income people, that we did so in ways that were that brought the beneficiaries in to share the burden, and we ended as you know, my view is that we've started saying that only users and middle-class people are the targets of revenue increases, tax increases, and I think that we ought to stop.
And in the short term, the MTA budget is coming out. They're going to ask for a fare hike of one kind or another. Apparently, they're going to ask the city to kick in more money for the Accessoride program, to double the city contribution to that. They're going to save, apparently, by revoking the free easy passes for city and state agency employees. Are they on the right track?
I would much rather do this on a coherent revenue basis. So picking off Accessoride as a place to raise money may or may not be a good thing. We can look at that. But the legislature's and the policymakers' responsibility is to provide the sort of the revenue streams that can be directed at these individual programs. Know also that on Wednesday, they're going to announce a $2.5 billion cut in the existing capital plan, which will mean, for example, major reductions in station improvements across the borough of Brooklyn. So what you're going to get is a drumbeat of bad news. And it's a social and political debate of the best kind. What is our commitment as a state and city in a metropolitan area to a mass transit system? How do we fund it? Who pays? And will people have the courage to stand up and take the difficult and unpopular votes that are going to be needed to fund the system that, in the end, is the single most important part of our economic and social fabric? So we're in for a tough, highly charged, highly political debate that everybody should be part of.
We have just 30 seconds left, but make that case a little more deeply that the MTA, the mass transit, is the single most important part of our economic engine.
It's not just the economic interest. It's the getting people to work. It's the social fabric. We run a 24-hour system. It's a good system. It's relatively cheap. It's safe. It's speedy. And it gets people to from Williamsburg to Harlem at 2 o'clock in the morning. That creates an ability to do a music industry. It creates cultural opportunities. It creates contact between different kinds of communities. It's not just the immediate get people to work for the economic benefit. It's the social vision of our community that's at stake. And it's
and
why
we have
we've got to make these decisions.
Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, Westchester Democrat and Chairman of the Assembly Committee on Corporations, Authorities, and Commissions. Thank you very much
Always
for coming
a pleasure,
on.
Brian
Lehrer on WNYC.